The events of the period 1641 to 53, when Ireland was one of the theatres of the British civil wars, add up to an extremely complex story. This is not just a view of the hard-pressed modern student struggling to make sense of what happened 350 years ago. Richard Bellings, who had himself lived through the war as secretary to the Confederate Catholics, wrote a history in the early 1670s. What he was setting out to describe, he told his readers, was a war of many parts, carried on under the notion of so many interests, perplexed with such diversity of rents and divisions among those who seemed to be on the same side. Against this background, the best way forward is not to attempt a chronological narrative. Instead, we need to look at each of the leading groups that participated in the wars in turn. And the best way to make sense of the apparent chaos of events is to recognise that we are looking at people who are forced to make difficult choices at a time when the whole structure of their society seemed to be falling apart. Ireland's descent into civil war began with the rising in 1641 of the native Irish in the province of Ulster. Starting with the work of Aidan Clarke, historians have now recognised that this did not begin, as used to be assumed, as a revolt against the great plantation of English and Scots that had taken place 3 decades earlier. Instead, the leaders of the revolt were part of the post-plantation establishment. Sir Phelim O'Neill, for example, was a Justice of the Peace and a Member of Parliament, and the holder of 5,000 acres of land granted under the plantation. He had also, for a time at least, conformed to the Protestant established church. What led him and others to take action was not circumstances in Ulster, but rather events in London, where it seemed that Parliament was gaining the ascendancy over Charles I. By seizing control of Ireland in the name of the King, the conspirators hoped both to advance Catholic interests and to prevent the English House of Commons, which was Puritan-dominated and ferociously anti-Catholic, from assuming control of policy. Lower down the social scale, however, as we know from the work of Nicholas Canny and others, the economic inequalities of plantation society and the intrusive presence of official Protestantism had created deep resentments. Hence, when the rising came, the leaders quickly lost control, and what was meant to be a surgical strike to capture the centres of power degenerated into a murderous assault on the English and Scottish settler population as a whole. Meanwhile, the planned seizure of Dublin Castle had failed, and with it hopes of quickly taking control of the whole island. Instead, as Percival Maxwell in particular has emphasised, O'Neill and his allies found themselves facing a prolonged war that they had not planned for, at the head of forces whose aims and animosities were far more extreme than their own.